Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it, and we have quite a lineup tonight. Starting with a woman, I hear this name, and I keep saying to myself, have I met her? Her name is Jasper Lipak. I got it right. How are you, Jasper?
Yeah, and you did get it right. It's Jasper Lipak, and we have met, but it was
Okay, thank you for that. I looked at your picture. I'm like, I know I have been in the company of this woman. So I thank you for clarifying that for me. You have a homecoming show coming up with Molly Dean, and I am excited about all the things that has been happening in your life. And let's talk about that first of all, Jasper. You are a roots singer, Americana singer. You know, there have been different words that have been attached to your style of music, but what would you call it?
I would call it folk, singer-songwriter, Americana, all of those things. But mostly folk. I think that's where my main genre lies. Folk.
And was it always folk music that touched your heart and you had to record that particular music?
Yeah. I mean, the singer-songwriter storytelling, the personal voice, I've always really connected with that, and that's what I write naturally.
I see that many people have compared you to Emmylou Harris, Kate Wolf, and more. Some people say that's like chasing a dream, trying to catch up with the real famous people like that. But you don't seem to have a problem at all with it. Your music just lands in that center of a voice like Emmylou Harris and Kate Wolf. That's got to be pretty exciting. And when you're writing songs, do you hear your voice or do you hear someone else's voice like an Emmylou Harris?
Gosh, that's such a sweet thing every time I hear that comparison. I hear my own voice, and I mean, I look up to so many of those great singer-songwriters, and yeah, I think, let me pause for a moment here. I mean, I started singing and became a songwriter as a bit of a surprise to myself, so that authentic voice that's in me has been my main drive. I don't think I've ever tried to sound like anyone else, even though, you know, it happens and I look up to people and I listen to people all the time. And, you know, that those influences are there. Definitely.
Let's take a listen to a song that Jonathan has to play just a little bit of. Yeah, exactly. So just hearing this song, you know, you look at yourself and say, hey, I can laugh at me when I need to laugh at me. Did you really get a tattoo?
Oh, no. And it's so funny because a lot of my songs are very personal. And this song is not. It's a song that I wrote about a photograph. And it was a project I was given. And the story just popped out to me. It was this photograph of a woman in a black and white dress. And I mean, there's some of me in there, but no, I've thought about it for years, but I have not yet gotten a tattoo.
Me either, by the way. I thought about it when I turned 40, but didn't do it. So here you are. Your career is still moving up and forward. And not everybody can say that because you started writing when?
I started writing back in 2002. And it was, you know, it all happened at the same time, like writing, learning to sing, learning to play guitar. So, when I wrote my first song, I felt like I'd really found my language and kind of my path in life. And right. So I've just stuck with it because it brings me so much joy. It's a place where I can be really honest And, it's, you know, music is just this space where I feel so connected to myself and to the world. So yeah. I just keep going. Yeah.
You lived in Tucson and Durban. I don't even know where Durban is. Seattle, and you are currently now in Minneapolis. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I grew up in Tucson, and then I moved to the Twin Cities for college and stayed for about 10 years. My parents are both originally from Minnesota, and I have tons of extended family here. And when I started writing, it was in Minneapolis when I lived here, and the community here just supported me so much. I am just incredibly grateful to the Twin Cities. And then my husband and I were in Durban, South Africa for a couple of years. We lived in Seattle for about 10 years. And then we finally just moved back to the Twin Cities in the fall. And we're just
welcome back. Thanks. Of course, many people say you are a prolific writer. And the bottom line is that this is your ninth album. And I think that proves it. And so I wonder, is it based on poetry? Do you start with the poetry first and it inspires a song?
Kind of. I often start with like a journal entry or just, you know, like writing down what I'm thinking. And I often write to kind of uncover an emotion or a story. And it's usually like a back and forth between the melody and the lyrics. They kind of play tag with each other. I guess that's the best description I can come up with.
I just love that you've been using your own lyrics. It's not easy for many of us to write our own lyrics. You know, you feel a little conscious about it, but it seems to flow from you. So is this the way you process the whole beginning of a new album, is with your poetry?
I think so. I guess I'm a little confused by that question because I don't consider myself a poet. Like I don't write out poems in, you know, full
form. Oh,
you
don't?
No, it's more like, it's really like just journaling down thoughts, kind of singing these ideas to a melody, playing guitar chords, trying to figure out what this is that I'm working on. Either telling a story or really getting at the heart of some emotion that I cannot just explain without writing a song about it, I guess. I do think like emotions take melodies, you know, to kind of emerge.
Well, so you have a show coming up, the Homecoming Show with Molly mm-hmm. Dean, as we mentioned earlier. And this is happening on Tuesday, April 19th at 8 p.m. at the Ice House, which that's awesome. And the name of the new album, I believe, is Desert Ghosts. Okay, which haunts me. I mean, as soon as I saw that, I'm thinking, boy, I want to sit down and have coffee with her. So it's really, it sounds like it's a great album. Tell me what you love most about this particular album.
I love the stories in the songs. Each song has its own kind of, I don't know, like a lot of the songs are very set in places. Like there's a song called Santa Fe that's the story of a walk down Canyon Road, which is this famous street with art galleries. And that's where the title of the CD comes from, or the album comes from, Desert Ghosts. I felt like I heard ghosts in the desert that day, just like this, because this is such a creative area. And I felt that energy, that creativity in the air. The songs on the album span about 10 years of writing. So there are some more recent ones. There's one that I started in when I lived in South Africa over 10 years ago called Fever mm-hmm. Tree that I could just never quite finish. And then I finally did. So I love that I created it in Seattle right before I moved with this wonderful woman, Alicia Healy, a producer in Seattle, and also just the musicians who added their voices and ideas to it. I'm really proud of the collaboration.
That's awesome. So are there still tickets available?
Yes, there are.
Okay, so if people want, is there a phone number we can get that people can call? I know it's at the Ice House, which is located on 25th and Nicollet. Mm-hmm. How much are the tickets? And can we go online and get the tickets?
Yes, so go to icehouseminneapolis.com and you can book your tickets. And it's a really unique venue because the stage is like right in the middle. It's a restaurant, but it's a listening room too. So it's table seating. So you will buy your tickets and then book your reservation time for your table. And it just has this lovely vibe of listening and good energy, and I just, yeah, I really like the room there. So, yeah, you can book online. I think that's the easiest rather than calling. It's $12 advance, $15 day of the show.
Ninth album. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. And you're still doing it, Jasper Leepak. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And again, I will mention it's Tuesday, April 19th, 8 p.m. is the show at icehouseminneapolis.com is the website. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Bye. We're going to take a break and then come back with my next guest. And I'm very curious about Jesse Norrell as well. So stay tuned.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam. I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. My second guest for this hour of Center Stage is Jesse Norrell. Let's take a listen. Oh, we don't have a song. Are you kidding me? Oh, come on. All right. Jesse, there is no song or bump that talks about your music, but I have heard a lot about it. And the new album is called Aorta Boreale. Tell me about
Aorta
the name
Boreale.
Of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did you get that from? That's awesome.
Well, thank you, Geraldine. First of all, it's an honor to talk to you today. Aorta Borealis is the name. Aorta is a reference to the heart.
Yes.
And the album is a lot about my daughter and her heart surgery. My daughter, Alyssa, is 6 years old. Oh. And the first half of this record deals with her first 3 years of life in which she had two separate heart surgeries. And trying to navigate that as her dad brought me back to writing songs after 15 years away from it. I was waiting for sort of something that I felt like I couldn't not do. I couldn't help but write another record when sort of I was looking back at this period of my life. So Aorta is all about that. That's the first half of the record. And then Borealis makes a reference to the Northern Lights. And the Northern
Yes.
Lights is something that you can only see against the backdrop of darkness. So when you hear the story of the first half of the record, the second half where I'm celebrating my daughter, celebrating my son, celebrating my wife and my marriage and my family that made it through that difficult time, it makes it that much more beautiful. And being able to find the beauty even in the dark parts of life, that's what it's all about.
Writing this album, recording this album, how did it change you? The stories you just told me had to have impacted you quite a bit.
Yeah, well, my daughter was probably the biggest thing that changed me going through this time period, figuring out how to be the best dad I could be. It took 100% of what I had as a dad and as a human being to be able to navigate such, you know, perilous times. And then I have an 8-year-old son named Tyler as well. And when, you know, he was just being a regular kid, you know, maybe complaining about that I didn't give him the red plate instead of the yellow plate that day. That pushed me to be sort of 110% of what I thought I could be. And I felt like I grew a lot as a person. I felt like sometimes, you know, trials through fiery, that's what makes you grow and makes you a better individual. And I felt like through writing this album, and especially the album release concert that we did last Friday,
right.
But yeah, that helped me share it. This whole experience has helped me share it with other people. And what I've realized is when you share your story, even though it might be a little bit somber or dark, that The burdens are lifted because you share it with other people. And that's what I noticed when playing on stage, when people applauded in between songs. It wasn't just, hey, we appreciated that, we want to applaud. It was like, we're rooting for you, you can do this. And it felt like it lifted the whole burden of the whole thing.
That is remarkable. That's what music does. It inserts itself in every moment that we breathe, everything that we think. It's always a song that comes to you when you're in your darkest times and when you're in your best times. So I thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm so glad your daughter is doing well. So glad about that. So you guys released this on April 8th, right?
Yeah. So that's when the album release concert was. The Aorta Borealis, the record, hit Spotify and all the other streaming services on March 4th.
Okay. So as you are looking at how well this is going for you, what do you think about it all? You've done the release. You've done the album. Your daughter's doing great. You say to yourself, okay, let's get back in the studio and start recording a whole nother album? Or do you just sit back and go, let me take all of this in? It's a lot.
It is so much. You know, like I said, I was away for 15 years. I launched a Kickstarter to see if people wanted to hear this album in March of 2020. And we all know what happened in March of 2020, right? I was planning on recording this thing while my kids were at school, and then they didn't go to school for 540 some days after that. And so it just sort of took this weird turn that I wasn't expecting. And on April 9th, after the album release concert, for the first time I was able to go, okay, just exactly what you're asking. What do I want to do? Do I want to jump right back in? Do I want to take a break? Because once the Kickstarter succeeded, you have to do it, right? Or else you have to, I don't know, give people their money back or tell them I'm sorry or whatever. And I wasn't going to do any of that. I was going to do what I promised I would do. And so I've been pushing for 2 years to get this thing out the door. And now it's we did it, like it happened. And I'm kind of looking at it like, okay, being a musician, as you know, is not always the best financial move you could make. There are a lot of other things that you could do with your time that would make you, more money, be better, put you in a better financial position for your family. But it's also super rewarding. So I think the next thing I'm going to do is, I've written maybe 30 or 40 songs with my kids. You probably remember the time period, because I've heard you talk about your kids a little bit. When your kids were little, and when they're really little, it can get kind of boring sometimes just to sit there and watch them and care for them. And so you just start singing because,
it fills
the space and
it's
fills the time.
So
and
true.
And yes. I ended up writing 30 or 40 songs with my kids. Some of them don't even have like a verse chorus format. It's just, like, think of the wheels on the bus go round and round.
Go round and round. Don't sing it. Right. Don't you dare.
No.
But I understand what you're talking about. And we're running out of time. I want to make sure, Jesse, that we talk about your next performance. When is the next one?
You know what? Somebody needs to give me a call and let me know when the next one's going to be. I don't have anything lined up at the moment, but I'd be excited to play another show with my band.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you tonight, and congratulations on your new album. I got to listen to it. And it says, make sure you listen to his album. You can go to his website, Jesse Norell, Norell.com, and listen to the album in the order it is, because it tells a story. It tells a story. Do I have that right, sir?
That's exactly right.
Exactly. All right. I'm looking forward to your next project. Don't fail me. Let me know when it's done, okay?
That's so encouraging. Will do, Jalen. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. That was Jesse Norell. All right. We're going to take a break and we'll come back in a moment. Welcome back to Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. We just got to give it to you, because there's so much great music and so much great talent in this city, the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota. So here's the thing. Do you know at all what a casting director does? You know, I had to look it up. I had to figure it out. Because really, it's important. It's amazing. I found out that it is about providing all casting support for the Children's Theater Company, is the company we're thinking of, artistic teams, including scouting and procuring acting talent of both student and adult actors for all shows, workshops, readings, tours, and theater events. We could go on. However, we're also celebrating tonight because there is a new casting director at the Children's Theater Company, and her name is Tracy Shannon. She joins us now. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I was trying to figure out everything that you have to do in this new position, which I'm pretty sure you're very, you know a lot about that position. And wow, congratulations. It's a lot.
Thank you. It is. Thank you so much. I just couldn't be more excited.
Okay, so tell me how you got here.
Oh,
right
boy.
Here in this Wait. Moment, being the casting
how
director.
Much time how? Do we have? What do we? How much?
Go.
Oh Lord. Well, I was born in North Carolina many, many years ago. But no, I studied theater. I went to Howard University. Of course, I can't go more than 5 minutes without mentioning that. And I studied theater there, and always knew that I wanted to build a life for myself in theater, but also knew that that extended beyond performing. And so, throughout my career, I've had incredible opportunities to perform, both here in the Twin Cities and Chicago, did a national tour, and then also here and there found opportunities to dive into theater administration and stage management, theater management. And so this casting director position felt like a perfect marriage of putting together all of my knowledge from having been a performer for so long, as well as my more administrative brain that I've long been sort of strengthening and exercising, and just felt like the perfect meeting place. And so I couldn't be more excited. And to be doing it at the Children's Theater, where I have a long history of, it was actually where I kind of launched my professional acting career right out of college, left and then came back for a while and then left. And now I'm back again for another tour of duty. So I'm thrilled.
It really is quite remarkable. And Peter Brose is, he has such a great eye for any of the positions at a Children's Theater Company. And I have to say to you, knowing that this is a woman in this position, Peter, I will take you to lunch, dude. Because seriously,
really?
I stand taller knowing that a woman is in this position. Knowing that, were you nervous initially, or did you say, oh, bring it on?
I believe that nervousness is a sign that you care, right? Where
right.
if you don't feel nervous about an opportunity, then it's like, what are you doing it for? If it doesn't give you that little buzz of like, ooh, I want this to go well. So there's definitely the nervousness, but there's also at this point in my life, I'm just like, bring it on. Let's do this. I had a baby in a pandemic. Let's do this. Like, nothing scares me anymore.
Superwoman, exactly.
I'm just not afraid anymore.
So with a position like this, does that mean that you don't have the time to continue being an actor?
I wouldn't say don't have the time, but I haven't been on stage in a full-length production in 5 years. And that's been by choice. My life has just sort of turned in a direction where I love performing. I love the process. But I don't, when your life just takes a turn and then people say, oh, do you miss it? And it's like, I don't miss it. I have very fond memories of it. But I don't go to a show and say, that should be me. I don't have that feeling. It's just I go, I enjoy. I'm just sort of forward facing now into sort of what else is there. And then also recognizing that life takes all kinds of twists and turns. So, who knows?
That's
I may
right.
still and go to med school one day. Who knows?
Well, hey, now go for it. That's
who
what
knows?
I say. I was so excited to also read that this is Children's Theater Company's first full-time casting director. So this is really an important moment. I'm so excited that they put out, a statement about it, more than a statement about it, and that they are truly excited about it. Are you hearing from other, like the girls, the children? that are meeting you now, it must be so exciting for them to look at you and say, wow, you know, a woman as a casting director. So bravo to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've reached a place where we're starting to see more and more representation on stage, which is a beautiful thing. But then now we're sort of reaching to, like, well, what about that representation behind the scenes? What about, you know, because like you were saying, the children, it's so important for them to look and see, oh, that's a job. Oh, that's something you can do. Oh, you can make a living doing that. And so until they see it, sometimes it can be impossible to dream of something that you've never seen happen. And I think, yes, devoting a full-time position to casting director, saying it is an important job to support the work of on-stage representation of what it is that we're putting in front of people, and that we need a person in this position to help us find the best talent and to put that in front of families, because children's theater, you know, the audience that they reach is so wide and vast. And so there's that extra sense of responsibility where you're not just responsible for putting on great theater, but you're responsible for putting on great theater for young people and for families. So that's an extra special responsibility that the Children's Theater takes so seriously. So I'm just so excited to be a part of that.
I'm excited to also say that they take very seriously the goal of being an anti-racist theater that works towards justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion through ensuring 50% casting as BIPOC actors for each season and identifying and eliminating barriers to participation for all actors. I remember, you know, hearing about this, and I was just so moved by it. Knowing that is part of your role as well, where do you begin?
That's a great question, and fortunately, I don't feel like I'm alone in the work. I think children's theater making that statement, it is strong, it's bold, and I can assure you that the work they're doing behind the scenes is work in support of that statement. So they're already doing some incredible work with community engagement, doing some incredible work in education. And so I think what we're trying to do now is explore some partnerships with how do education, community engagement, and casting all kind of work together to create this ecosphere of beautiful, talented young people and adults, but particularly young people. How do we make sure that we're reaching, you know, all the different corners of the Twin Cities so that young people are aware of the Children's Theater, that they feel that the Children's Theater is accessible to them, not just as an audience member, but should they wish to be on stage or be in a class. You know, I think you have to know that the door is open. And then you have to also feel that once you walk through that door, you'll be not just tolerated, but you'll be celebrated. And so I think that is the work that's happening in the theater. And I'm like, I could go on. It's just so exciting. It's such an exciting time, especially when you realize, when you know what a different world, I know what a different world I grew up in. And to see the world that we are trying to create for young people to inherit at this point in history. It's just exciting to be a part of that kind of work.
Well, congratulations on becoming the new casting director, the first ever for the Children's Theater.
Thank you.
I do hope to have you on next year to talk about how great it is or how great it isn't, or how well you're doing, or the things that you did so well and the mistakes, because you know we make mistakes, and how you deal with that mistake.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. We just got to give it to you, because there's so much great music and so much great talent in this city, the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota. So here's the thing. Do you know at all what a casting director does? You know, I had to look it up. I had to figure it out, because really it's important. It's amazing. I found out that it is about providing all casting support for the Children's Theater Company, is the company we're thinking of, artistic teams, including scouting and procuring acting talent of both student and adult actors for all shows, workshops, readings, tours, and theater events. We could go on. However, we're also celebrating tonight because there is a new casting director at the Children's Theater Company, and her name is Tracy Shannon. She joins us now. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I was trying to figure out everything that you have to do in this new position, which I'm pretty sure you're very, you know a lot about that position. And wow, congratulations. It's a lot.
Thank you. It is. Thank you so much. I just couldn't be more excited.
Okay, so tell me how you got here.
Oh,
right,
boy.
Here in this moment, being the casting director.
How do we have? What do we? How much?
Go.
Oh Lord. Well, I was born in North Carolina many, many years ago. But no, I studied theater. I went to Howard University. I,
awesome.
Of course, I can't go more than 5 minutes without mentioning that. And I studied theater there, and always knew that I wanted to build a life for myself in theater, but also knew that that extended beyond performing. And so, excuse me, throughout my career, I've had incredible opportunities to perform, both here in the Twin Cities and Chicago, did a national tour, and then also here and there found opportunities to dive into theater administration and, stage management, theater management. And so this casting director position felt like a perfect marriage of putting together all of my knowledge from having been a performer for so long, as well as my more administrative brain that I've long been sort of strengthening and exercising, and just felt like the perfect meeting place. And so I couldn't be more excited. And to be doing it at the Children's Theater, where I have a long history of, it was actually where I kind of launched my professional acting career right out of college, left and then came back for a while and then left, and now I'm back again for another tour of duty. So I'm thrilled.
It really is quite remarkable. And Peter Brosius, he has such a great eye for any of the positions at a Children's Theater Company. And I have to say to you, knowing that this is a woman in this position, Peter, I will take you to lunch, dude. Because seriously, I stand taller knowing that a woman is in this position. Knowing that, were you nervous initially, or did you say, oh, bring it on?
I believe that nervousness is a sign that you care, right? If you don't feel nervous about an opportunity, then then what are you doing it for? If it doesn't give you that little buzz of like, ooh, I want this to go well. So there's definitely the nervousness, but there's also at this point in my life, I'm just like, bring it on. Let's do this. I had a baby in a pandemic. Let's do this. nothing scares me anymore.
Superwoman, exactly.
I'm just not afraid anymore.
So with a position like this, does that mean that you don't have the time to continue being an actor?
I wouldn't say don't have the time, but I haven't been on stage in a full-length production in 5 years. And that's been by choice. My life has just sort of turned in a direction where I love performing. I love the process. But I don't, when your life just takes a turn and then people say, oh, do you miss it? And it's like, I don't miss it. I have very fond memories of it. But I don't go to a show and say, that should be me. I don't have that feeling. It's just I go, I enjoy. I'm just sort of forward facing now. It's just sort of what else is there? And then also recognizing that life takes all kinds of twists and turns. So,
That's
who knows?
That's
I may
right.
still go to med school one day. Who knows?
Well, hey, now. Go for it. That's what I say. I was so excited to also read that this is Children's Theater Company's first full-time casting director. So this is really an important moment. I'm so excited that they put out, you know, a statement about it, more than a statement about it, and that they are truly excited about it. Are you hearing from other, like the girls, the children that are meeting you now? It must be so exciting for them to look at you and say, wow, you know, a woman as a casting director. So bravo to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've reached a place where we're starting to see more and more representation on stage, which is a beautiful thing. But then now we're sort of reaching to, like, well, what about that representation behind the scenes? What about, you know, because like you were saying, the children, it's so important for them to look and see, oh, that's a job. Oh, that's something you can do. Oh, you can make a living doing that. And so until they see it, sometimes it can be impossible to dream of something that you've never seen happen. And I think, yes, devoting a full-time position to casting director, saying it is an important job to support the work of on stage representation of what it is that we're putting in front of people, and that we need a person in this position to help us find the best talent and to put that in front of families, because children's theater, you know, the audience that they reach is so wide and vast. And so there's that extra sense of responsibility where you're not just responsible for putting on great theater, but you're responsible for putting on great theater for young people and for families. So that's an extra special responsibility that the Children's Theater takes so seriously. So I'm just so excited to be a part of that.
I'm excited to also say that they take very seriously the goal of being an anti-racist theater that works towards justice, equity, diversity and inclusion through ensuring 50% casting as BIPOC actors for each season and identifying and eliminating barriers to participation for all actors. That just, I remember, you know, hearing about this, and I was just so moved by it. Knowing that is part of your role as well, where do you begin?
That's a great question. And fortunately, I don't feel like I'm alone in the work. I think children's theater making that statement, it is strong, it's bold, and I can assure you that the work they're doing behind the scenes is work in support of that statement. So they're already doing some incredible work with community engagement, doing some incredible work in education. And so I think what we're trying to do now is explore some partnerships with how do education, community engagement, and casting all kind of work together to create this ecosphere of beautiful, talented young people and adults, but particularly young people. How do we make sure that we're reaching, you know, all the different corners of the Twin Cities so that young people are aware of the Children's Theater, that they feel that the Children's Theater is accessible to them, not just as an audience member, but should they wish to be on stage or be in a class. You know, I think you have to know that the door is open. And then you have to also feel that once you walk through that door, you'll be not just tolerated, but you'll be celebrated. And so I think that is the work that's happening in the theater. And I'm like, I could go on. It's just so exciting. It's such an exciting time, especially when you realize, when you know what a different world, I know what a different world I grew up in. And to see the world that we are trying to create for young people to inherit at this point in history. It's just exciting to be a part of that kind of work.
Well, congratulations on becoming the new casting director, the first ever for the Children's Theater.
Thank
you.
I
do hope to have you on next year to talk about how great it is or how great it isn't, or how well you're doing, or the things that you did so well and the mistakes, because you know we make mistakes, and how you deal with that mistake is everything. So well done. Congratulations to you, Tracy. I will be
Thank
watching.
You so much.
I can't wait to have you on next year. Thank you.
Oh, it's a date. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Tracy Shannon, announced just recently that she is the new casting director at the Children's Theater. Wow. We'll be back. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. First, I got to start out by saying thank you so much for those of you that really came and supported Jovita and I at Crooners last night. It was so much fun and really special. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, my final guest tonight is Gretchen Parlato. I hope I said that correctly. She is a 2022 Grammy Award nominee. Amazing. And I'm so happy to have her join us. Hey, Gretchen.
Hi, how you doing?
I am doing well. I'm excited to talk to you about the upcoming Jazz Minnesota concert, which is happening on Monday, April 25th at the Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. Tell us about it.
Ooh, I'm excited too. I'm going to be doing some music that, you know, if people know my repertoire, they might hear some material that they know, with, you know, a larger ensemble. There might be some new pieces in there, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a little different than, you know, duo work or quartet band setting. So this will be a bigger a group to work with, and I'm very excited.
You know, Jazz Minnesota, as a professional jazz orchestra, they really do great work. And when they have their concerts at Chanhassen, you know, more and more people get involved, more and more people hear about it. Jazz is still so important, not just in the country, not just in communities, but in the state of Minnesota. It is just growing, and it has been a staple for a long time. And we've had so many highly accomplished jazz musicians and singers that so many people talk about Minnesota now with the jazz. Are you surprised at that?
I mean, I'm not so familiar, but, you know, I was just at the Dakota just a couple weeks ago with the SF Jazz Collective, and I was there with my own group years back. So, you know, I know I felt a little bit of the scene. It was a wonderful audience and a wonderful sense of community, and people really enjoying the music. So it doesn't surprise me. sounds like a great place.
I've heard about you, and I've heard that you have a unique style of phrasing. Tell me about that.
Well, thank you. I don't know. I guess I've always really been intrigued with what we can do rhythmically as vocalists, and kind of, I suppose part of it comes from realizing that my voice wasn't necessarily very loud. You know, it wasn't like I could push my voice and challenge and push it as far as volume. I can only get so loud and work with my own limitations, but with rhythm and with phrasing, you can kind of stretch out, you know, in a different way and get into really some really, you know, really cool detail and really tell your own story with how you phrase, whether it be, you know, lyrically inclined or, you know, or just or technically kind of rhythmically. So I've always just been really intrigued by what I can do with my own voice and how I can incorporate rhythm, you know, and phrasing. It becomes a very personal statement, you know, that way.
You know, every singer I know, including myself, we tend to find a way to make sure that what needs to come out of us comes out of us. Do you have a process for that? How are you inspired initially? And then what is the process of how you get to the song?
You know, I feel like the first thought I'm having is, you know, singing the same way that we speak, and you're a great example of that. Your speaking voice is so melodic, and so it's so lyrical and so soothing, and I feel like without even hearing you sing right now, I can tell that you are a fantastic singer just because of the way that you use your voice. And I feel like that would be the goal for all of us as singers, is to have our song and our melodies come out the same kind of effortless way that we speak, you know? So I think I also had really great teachers, you know, that allowed me to kind of find my own way and blossom. But right, it should feel really natural, I think, you know, it should feel like effortless, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for that compliment. But let's talk about how you handle being nominated for a Grammy. I mean, whoa. Okay. Best Jazz Vocal Album, for real?
I definitely I feel that way. It is kind of it's happened twice in my life, and I don't take it for granted. It's a complete honor and thrill, and I've just been fortunate enough to be able to go, you know, to the award ceremony, and just, you know, it's fun to get dressed up and see your friends. And you know, it's an honor. It's a complete honor.
Well, we are so excited that you're here. You're coming, and you're returning to the stage after taking a hiatus to become what? A parent. And raise your now 8-year-old son. That's awesome. How is that going for you, and how does your son adjust to your calendar and your work and how you're, you know, singing all over the place and traveling?
I know. You know, we're learning every day, you know, of I say we because my husband's he's a drummer, so he's, you know, he has this, we both are balancing, you know, our career and our and being parents. So, you know, our son is a very unique experience, having both of us have this you know, this lifestyle. So, you know, we trade off, we balance everything, we do things together. If our son can come with us, you know, he's traveled all over the world, you know, and he's seen a lot. Or we try to allow him, of course, to have a nice settled existence at home too, and we can kind of take turns being away. But so far we've been able to work it out, and it's pretty unique and exciting.
Wow, very exciting. Congratulations on your success. And tell us when we can hear you here in the great state of Minnesota. Of course, with the Jazz Minnesota, tell us when, where, and how we can get tickets.
Oh, gosh, you know what? I might have to look at it myself, to be honest with you. But it's coming up.
April 25th.
Weekend.
April 25th. Yes. Yep, Monday, April 25th. And it's happening at Chan Hessen Dinner Theaters. Phew, I did mention that when I first got on this. Wow. Okay, so congratulations again.
Expert. There you go. Thank
well,
you.
I need to stop by and meet you and say hello. I'm going to do my best to do that. And the concert starts at 7:30 p.m. And are there tickets still available? Do you know?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess that there are. I would hope so and guess. I would definitely encourage people to look into that. And I would love to meet you. I'd definitely say hello if you're able
Same
to come.
Same thing. Oh, I agree. I want to meet you, Gretchen. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. That's Gretchen
Barlino.
And do not miss out on this on April 25th. We'll be back. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. First, I got to start out by saying thank you so much for those of you that really came and supported Jovita and I at Crooners last night. It was so much fun and really special. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, my final guest tonight is Gretchen Parlato. I hope I said that correctly. She is a 2022 Grammy Award nominee. Amazing. And I'm so happy to have her join us. Hey, Gretchen.
Hi, how you doing?
I am doing well. I'm excited to talk to you about the upcoming Jazz Minnesota concert, which is happening on Monday, April 25th at the Chan Hessen Dinner Theaters. Tell us about it.
Ooh, I'm excited too. I'm going to be doing some music that, you know, if people know my repertoire, they might hear some material that they know, with, you know, a larger ensemble. There might be some new pieces in there, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a little different than, you know, duo work or quartet band setting. So this will be a bigger a group to work with, and I'm very excited.
You know, Jazz Minnesota, as a professional jazz orchestra, they really do great work. And when they have their concerts at Chan Hessen, you know, more and more people get involved. More and more people hear about it. Jazz is still so important, not just in the country, not just in communities, but in the state of Minnesota. It is just growing, and it has been a staple for a long time. And we've had so many highly accomplished jazz musicians and singers that so many people talk about Minnesota now with the jazz. Are you surprised at that?
I mean, I'm not so familiar, but, you know, I was... I was just at the Dakota just a couple weeks ago with the SF Jazz Collective, and I was there with my own group years back. So, you know, I know I felt a little bit of the scene. It was a wonderful audience and a wonderful sense of community and people really enjoying the music. So it doesn't surprise me. sounds like a great place.
I've heard about you, and I've heard that you have a unique style of phrasing. Tell me about that.
Well, thank you. I don't know. I guess I've always really been intrigued with what we can do rhythmically as vocalists. I suppose part of it comes from realizing that my voice wasn't necessarily very loud. You know, it wasn't like I could push my voice and challenge and push it as far as volume. I can only get so loud and work with my own limitations. But with rhythm and with phrasing, you can kind of stretch out, you know, in a different way and get into really some really, you know, really cool detail and really tell your own story with how you phrase, whether it be, lyrically inclined or technically kind of rhythmically. So I've always just been really intrigued by what I can do with my own voice and how I can incorporate rhythm, you know, and phrasing. It becomes a very personal statement, you know, that way.
You know, every singer I know, including myself, we tend to find a way to make sure that what needs to come out of us comes out of us. Do you have a process for that? How are you inspired initially? And then what is the process of how you get to the song?
You know, I feel like the first thought I'm having is, you know, singing the same way that we speak, and you're a great example of that. Your speaking voice is so melodic, and so it's so lyrical and so soothing, and I feel like without even hearing you sing right now, I can tell that you are a fantastic singer just because of the way that you use your voice. And I feel like that would be the goal for all of us as singers, is to have our song and our melodies come out the same kind of effortless way that we speak, you know? So I think I also had really great teachers, you know, that allowed me to kind of find my own way and blossom. But right, it should feel really natural, I think, you know, it should feel like effortless, you know?
Yeah, thank you for that compliment. But let's talk about how you handle being nominated for a Grammy. I mean, whoa, okay, best jazz vocal album, for real?
I feel that way. It's happened twice in my life, and I don't take it for granted. It's a complete honor and thrill, and I've just been fortunate enough to be able to go, you know, to the award ceremony, and just, you know, it's fun to get dressed up and see your friends. And you know, it's an honor. It's a complete honor.
Well, we are so excited that you're here. You're coming, and you're returning to the stage after taking a hiatus to become what? A parent. And raise your now 8-year-old son. That's awesome. How is that going for you, and how does your son adjust to your calendar and your work and how you're, you know, singing all over the place and traveling?
I know, you know, we're learning every day, you know, of I say we, because my husband's he's a drummer. So he's, you know, we both are balancing, you know, our career and our, and being parents. So, you know, our son is a very unique, experience, having both of us have this, you know, this lifestyle. So, you know, we trade off, we balance everything, we do things together. If our son can come with us, you know, he's traveled all over the world, you know, and he's seen a lot, or we try to allow him, of course, to have a nice settled, existence at home too. And we can kind of take turns being away, but so far we've been able to work it out, and it's pretty unique and exciting.
Well, very exciting. Congratulations on your success. And tell us when we can hear you here in the great state of Minnesota. Of course, with the Jazz Minnesota, tell us when, where, and how we can get tickets.
Oh gosh, you know what? I might have to look at it myself, to be honest with you. But it's coming up.
April 25th.
Weekend.
April 25th. Yes. Yep, Monday, April 25th. And it's happening at Chan Hansen Dinner Theaters. Phew, I did mention that when I first got on this. Wow. Okay, so congratulations again.
Expert. There you go.
I need to stop by and meet you and say hello. I'm going to do my best to do that. And the concert starts at 7:30 p.m. And are there tickets still available, do you know?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess that there are. I would hope so and guess. I would definitely encourage people to look into that. And Abby, would love to meet you. I'd definitely say hello if you're able
Same
to come.
Same thing. Oh, I agree. I want to meet you, Gretchen. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. That's Gretchen
Barlino.
And do not miss out on this on April 25th. We'll be back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.